Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
You know, it's very, very bipartisan. I lead the U.S. Biochar Coalition, the markets committee to the federal government, so I spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill. And that's part of what Grain is also doing, is trying to navigate the non-dilutive capital. And the question for me is really, how much of the value do we capture locally to benefit Hoosier farms and rural economies? You know, that's the key. And the framing I always take to it, Eric, is the enemy isn't industry. It's uncontrolled emissions.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, your guest host for this week's edition of Ag Bioscience. We appreciate you joining us, and today we're going to chat with Jason Dodier, and he's going to tell us about grain ecosystems and the work they're doing to grow and deploy waste-to-value solutions. He explains exactly what that is and talks about their product Biochar and a number of other things on today's Ag Bioscience. I want to thank the folks at Agrinovas for allowing me to come back and host again. They're just not getting tired of me, I guess. So appreciate the opportunity and really appreciated this opportunity to speak with Jason Dodier at Grain Ecosystems. Jason, thank you so much for joining us here on Ag Bioscience. If we can, let's just start with an overview. Tell me a little bit about Grain Ecosystems and the work that you're leading to grow and deploy waste-to-value solutions.
Eric, I want to thank you personally and the team for having me. This is an exciting time. I've been waiting patiently for this dialogue. You know, one of my guiding questions and our questions at Grain is, what if people saw waste as an opportunity, not a liability? So it's at the core of a lot of what we think about and how we work. And at Grain, that idea for us, Eric, is really central. We help producers and communities turn residue into revenue. And by that, I mean, if you think about materials like wood chips, crop waste, manure, we've got plenty of that in the great state of Indiana. Things that many see as a disposal burden, they could become outputs such as biochar, which we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about today, renewable energy, and verified carbon removals, amongst other things like tax credits, et cetera. And what most folks call waste is actually feedstock for tomorrow. So our focus at Grain has been building the end-to-end platform to help these waste producers really to right size and improve the odds of success, aligning them with the right equipment, the right investor in the capital stack. And then we do the downstream, Eric, which is called DMRV, Digital Measurement, Reporting and Verification, almost like an overarching network operations center that ensures these projects don't have reversal risk, protect the cash flows, and at the end of the day, report back to the various registries. Again, we'll talk more about the registries tied to carbon removal credits, and also go back to the investors that are investing in the project. So really proud to do it, and obviously excited to have such a big presence today in Indiana.
The DMRV, that runs more smoothly than the DMV, right? It's more efficient, let's hope.
You know, it's funny, I lost my license during Climate Week here in New York City running around, and I am dreading every second of having to go back. I'm probably going to do it online, but I do need that new license that will allow me to travel without using my passport.
That's a good thing to have. That's a good thing to have. You're striving to be the global leader in decarbonization. Walk me through that process, what it looks like for each player in the ecosystem, farmers, investors, equipment suppliers. What does it look like for all of them?
Well, so there's a lot of different parts to the solution. I think if you think about your lens with Ag Bioscience being a critical contributor to economic growth, everything that we do or we strive to do and all the people we work with could be connected to multitudes of people on the planet. And at the center is food. So if you think about the ecosystem of grain, and you go on our YouTube channel and check out some of our videos, some of them are from Indiana. You know, we're working with waste producers. So people such as, you know, sugar mill owners, dairy farms, lumber mills. If you look at some of the things that the United States is known for, think about pistachio shells, almond shells, the corn belt, soybeans, corn, etc. So we're working with those waste producers. And then the output, or the thing that drives the output, which is biochar, is produced through solutions such as pyrolysis, gasification. There's a great company called EarthCare headquartered in Indiana. I think they're near Reynolds, Indiana. And these solutions basically, you take that feedstock waste, You heat it up at high temperatures in the absence of oxygen or low oxygen environment, and you create typically a solid, a liquid, and a gas. And then you've got the end user. We're going to go a lot more detail about this, but certainly farmers are a big part of it. If you look at Indiana, farmers are results-oriented. They don't chase flashy ideas. They want solutions that deliver better soil health, lower input costs, new revenue streams. So what GRAIN is doing is we're bringing together that ecosystem. And then we're also, when you think about offtake outside of soil amendment, Eric, you have a decarbonization of heavy industry. So think about building materials, industrial materials, concrete, asphalt, steel, things of that nature. So our job is to bring it together and then ensure once these projects go live that they are staying on plane. And obviously at the core of it again becomes the essence of biochar, which is known to improve microbial nature of soil. It's known to reduce the amount of water and your OPEX costs that you're going to need. And we're going to, again, we'll talk a lot more about the state of soil in this country. But that's a little bit about how GRAIN is trying to be a leader there. And I will make one other statement. One of our leading investors is a company called Schneider Electric. 2 years running, they're now Time Magazine's most sustainable company in the world. And that's helped us to really accelerate and move the chains a little bit more as a company.
So for producers to participate in a decarbonization project, they're just like anything else. There has to be a return. There has to be something coming back to them. There's got to be some certainty around it, which in our industry is hard to come by in some ways. But it has to be kind of easy in some sense as well. Something that's easy to implement, something that's easy to do. What is the GRAIN ecosystem differentiation that makes this an easy-to-adopt model?
So one of the things is asymmetric insights. So to date, we've looked at a little over 300 of these biochar projects, all different types of feedstock styles and mixes. When you do these projects, Eric, you also want to have lab tested lab data. So you want to understand, you know, what's the hydrogen to carbon ratio. Of course, when you look at feedstocks, there's different types by moisture content. So what we're trying to do is when somebody approaches us, and typically, you know, flag this here, you could see it, you know, your waste is worth it. They have a waste problem. And a lot of people are spending a considerable amount of money per annum managing that waste. And then depending on the state, they're also getting hit with other fines and fees. So GRAIN is helping them to rapidly figure out what is the right mix of feedstock. How do you approach the right technology? And then what does the capital stack look like? So a lot of people don't realize there are USDA-backed loan grants. You can subsidize up to 50 or 60% of some of these projects using investment tax credits, especially if you're using what's called an ORC unit or an organic Rankine cycle. This is where you're converting thermal heat to electricity, which is another way to drive down costs. You could sell it back to the grid, as an example, through power purchase agreements or renewable energy certificates. And then, of course, when you look at the opportunities to drive down costs, I spent a lot of time in Iowa the last handful of months. Iowa is the very heart of the Corn Belt, Eric. So it's losing topsoil at about 16 times the natural replenishment rate. Nearly a third of topsoil is already gone. Iowa alone contributes to 29% of the nitrogen load in the Mississippi River. So GRAIN is not just helping these developers in a seamless way figure out how to do a project. We have a free tool called Jobs to be Done. It's really dummy proof, and it's everything from, you know, digitizing and looking at the carbon methodologies. What does a feedstock agreement look like? What letter of intent look like? Ensuring you've got the right, you know, land applications and even land use. So these are all the things that we're aiming to do, is to make it easy. And again, as I said at the beginning, everything we're doing is tied to an odds game. You have to improve the odds of success. And that's one of the reasons we launched Jobs to be Done, is we saw early on a lot of companies or waste producers were trying to do this and really struggling to figure it out. And the last thing I'll say, Eric, we work with a lot of big companies that have Scope 3 mandates. So think about Danone, which owns a lot of dairy farms. They are trying to figure out, for those value chain companies and those value chain dairy farms, what do we do to help them? Do we do offsetting, where we make a commitment to procure their carbon credits tied to maybe methane abatement or carbon removal tied to biochar? Or do we do something called insetting, a popular term in the industry, where these big companies, whether it's a Pepsi or a Nestle or a Danone, invest directly in procuring, basically paying the CapEx cost to do these projects directly? And that's something, again, GRAIN is helping to figure out from an economics perspective. What is the best decision to do these essentially these waste to value projects.
Jason, you've talked about sustainability. It's a big buzzword in some cases, but I think it's more than that, and I think farmers are starting to take notice in that. And I guess I would ask, as you and your company strive toward this sustainability and the decarbonization, what does the feedback look like across the ecosystem? What are you hearing from farmers, investors, equipment suppliers about what you're doing?
It's interesting, Eric. Actually, this morning I did a webinar with a farmer in Illinois. He's got his own product called Mike's Mighty Micros. He actually is working in tandem with producers in Indiana as well. And we talked a lot about his use case. And the way that we think about it is consider these solutions and these outputs for farmers as a way to bottle carbon while enhancing soil. So, for example, let's stick to Indiana for a minute and let's stick to farmers in Indiana. In Indiana soils, you know, biochar is helping retain moisture during hot summers. It's holding on to nutrients so less fertilizer is lost. And then it's reducing disease pressures under the right conditions, and it even bolsters yield. So outcomes vary. Certainly, I like to focus more on the E. I know ESG has lost some of the luster recently, environmental, social, and governance. For me, the environmental piece is really, really the key. Again, we'll talk a little bit about the governance role, and I've been really excited by the role of the state of Indiana in trying to drive positive outcomes, whether it's Congressman Baird or it's Secretary Lamb. But, you know, if you look at, there was a multi-year Purdue SARE trial across Indiana vegetable farms applying biochar at varying rates showed a yield increase that in some cases was statistically significant. And, you know, some folks basically said the trials of combining biochar with cover crops observed 4 to 6% yield increases, and others showed significant reductions in emissions profile as well. So I think the take home for me continues to be, you know, while biochar may not be the magic bullet, when you integrate it thoughtfully, it can unlock fantastic soil synergies that matter. And at the end of the day, I'll stick to the Corn Belt story here because of the nature of, you know, Indiana and the pharma story. But Corn Belt residue deepens the point. You know, look at corn stover, Eric. I mean, it's the single largest crop residue stream in the U.S., but removing it beyond sustainable levels comes at a cost. So every study that I've looked at points to, you know, harvesting more than 50% of stover risks soil organic carbon loss and erosion unless offset by conservation practices. So when residues are taken off, you're basically exporting nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and that's got to be replaced. So that means cost, fragility, and greater exposure to extreme weather. So what we are doing, just to round it out, what we are doing at Grain is everything we do is to shift that equation, Eric. So we don't treat residues as waste to be burned off or buried. You know, we design systems where they're monetized responsibly. Tipping fees, energy sales, carbon removal, and of course, soil and agronomic value in the form of healthier soil and all the other things I highlighted earlier.
You know, I was just speaking with a soybean agronomist at Purdue University yesterday talking about that corn stover and how it can really mess things up for that soybean crop the next growing season, planting season. So I think he'd be happy to know if there's a way to get that taken care of, make sure it gets where it needs to go and away from his soybeans, he'd be pretty happy about that. So Jason, stick around here. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, where Grain Ecosystems has been, where it's going, we talk about that next here on the Ag Bioscience Podcast, and it's supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
We're back on Ag Bioscience with Jason Dodier. And Jason, let's just talk a little bit about Grain. It's a fairly young company, founded in 2022, and you already mentioned Schneider Electric. It was out of their Dare to Disrupt challenge that this company came to be, and you've built some momentum since then. So how have you seen the company take off in just three short years, and where do you see your biggest opportunities for growth?
You know, in my background, I was very fortunate. I spent a lot of time living and working in circular economy internationally. And you got to see, you're living in France during the Paris Agreement opens your eyes to kind of some of the discrepancies between avoidance and removals. When I say avoidance, those are solutions, you know, instead of one thing, you're doing something else. It's very much tied to scope one and scope two emissions profiles and removals, things like biochar, mangroves, kelp farms, enhanced rock weathering, direct air capture, etc. That Dare to Disrupt program was remarkable for us. I mean, we competed against 250 other teams, and we had a bold idea really on scope three. We saw Schneider Electric as a company that is everywhere. I mean, they make breakers, motor control centers, industrial automation. They're a leader in data center infrastructure, etc. And what we saw was, yes, Schneider was working across the value chain, but there was definitely a miss there in terms of stickiness and engagement they could have with a lot of these waste producers. And that was the angle we took, and ultimately were successful in winning that challenge. And we were the first ever pre-seed investment that Schneider Electric made on their Schneider Electric Ventures portfolio. So that was a big deal and a big honor for us. And recently, an even bigger deal was Elevate Ventures led our last round. And Elevate is, if not the largest, one of the top two largest venture capital firms in Indiana. I met them. Funny story, Eric, I got invited by a good friend from the Google Moonshot Lab to come and speak at Rally last year. And I was really bummed because last week Rally coincided with New York City Climate Week. So I was not able to come to Indiana. But having firms like Schneider Electric and like Elevate Ventures behind Grain has really to help bolster our business and our opportunities. And I will tell you, we're not shiny object chasers. That's one of the reasons we've been able to scale and grow so fast. We've been very focused on North America and hyper engaged on being the best in class when it comes to biochar, you know, waste to energy projects. And, you know, Eric, at Grain, we're not just building projects. I mean, I think our mindset has always been we're building a new category. So as I said at the beginning, you know, where you take that residue and drive revenue, waste streams, fuel resilient economies, and climate action, I think is super important. Our North Star is simple. Make carbon removal bankable, and make communities resilient, and then make waste valuable. From my lens, every acre, every ton, every residue, every credit, it all adds up to transformation. And over the next decade, I kind of see Grain sitting at the intersection of a $1 trillion opportunity, which this space has undoubtedly today, in decarbonizing agriculture, powering rural economies, and then really creating premium markets for carbon removal. Our focus has really been on how do we build the offtake market? We've done a great job of unlocking the digital stack, unlocking capital, unlocking carbon removal credits, you know, pre-purchases and near-term spot buys, et cetera. Now the emphasis for us, Eric, is really ensuring that, you know, farmers and other key players understand the value, and they're taking the biochar, getting beyond pilot and getting bigger projects in the U.S. I think you're seeing a lot of big projects taking place in India, South America, Europe, Africa. We want to talk about projects here in the U.S. And I do think, you know, it's very, very bipartisan. I lead the U.S. Biochar Coalition, the Markets Committee to the federal government. So I spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill. And that's part of what Grain is also doing, is trying to navigate the non-dilutive capital. And the question for me is really, how much of the value do we capture locally to benefit Hoosier farms and rural economies? You know, that's the key. And the framing I always take to it, Eric, is the enemy isn't industry. It's uncontrolled emissions. Farmers are never the problem. In many cases, farmers have been given the short end of the straw. They've been given the short straw. You know, they're the solution to waste to value and how we demonstrate the innovation that can decarbonize our economy today and strengthen rural livelihoods. And that's what Grain is all about.
If you could say that a little bit louder for the people in the back that blame farmers for all this stuff, I would appreciate that. They are the solution. They're a big part of this. Jason, you mentioned Schneider Electric, and you also mentioned Elevate Ventures, and earlier this year, alongside a network of experienced clean tech investors and operators, you did complete a seed round with Elevate Ventures. What did that round enable your team to do?
So first and foremost, I think that Elevate is innovation driven and focused. I mean, that round helped us to cement and solidify our position in the Midwest. I pride myself and our team on spending time in the field. Yes, we're a world-class software application that enables these businesses to move faster. But the round basically allowed us to formally open our office in Indiana, aggressively double down our engagements in the Midwest, which is mission critical. I think, you know, probably 70% of grain business today is in the Midwest. We do have some great projects on the East and West Coast. So that was the first thing. The second thing was it allowed us to really double down on digitizing and accelerating the work we do around lifecycle assessments and project design documents. These are the things that really enable these projects to happen and make carbon credits bankable. In addition to that, to understand really what the carbon profiles are for these projects, we were able to double down on the solution, hire a few more key talents that we need to really ensure that we're giving the right visibility and support. Remember, one of the things we like to do at Grain is to see ourselves as really the group that is identifying blind spots and rooting out false confidence. So by that funding round is allowing us to do that at a scale that, you know, we didn't think was possible this early on in the process, which is exciting. And then the last two things I would say, it allowed us to really cement and accelerate our DMRV offering to really build out that operations center for these projects. And then, of course, as I kind of alluded to at the beginning, Eric, our grain recipe, where we are making the connection between the waste provider and the end user, which is absolutely mission critical. We want to be seen as the leader in doing that here in the U.S. And again, because of the access we have to the brokers, the data and end users, we think we're best positioned to do that. So Elevate has been just a fantastic partner. And you might not know this, but they also are fantastic. They have a whole placement arm. So they've been very, very instrumental in the last couple of hirings we've made as well to bring people on through their you know, their venture desk. So Elevate is absolutely world-class. And I would advice I would give to other entrepreneurs that want to do business in the Midwest, pitch VC firms that actually work in the Midwest and understand the plight of the farmer. We spent too much time earlier, you know, just engaging in, you know, on the East Coast and in Silicon Valley, when at the end of the day, the real, you know, the real treasure was in the Midwest. It was in Indiana. It was with Elevate Ventures.
And Jason, you know, you mentioned that allowed you to really establish a good footprint here in Indiana, working alongside robust production agriculture ecosystem, ag bioscience community here in Indiana. And you talked about this partnership with Elevate Ventures. I imagine there are other partnerships as well. How have you used those to help shape growth for grain?
Absolutely. So one of the things we did immediately once we closed the funding round, we hosted an event where I met some of your team at 16 Tech called Grain Works. This was last June. And you know, the whole thought was, it would be, you know, I think one of the things 16 Tech does that's brilliant is it's referred to as kind of this makerspace. And a makerspace is really, you're bringing together residential programming. Obviously, Purdue is there. You've got venture that's there. You know, our friend Ben Pigeon is there who leads a family office group and they do other investing. So that community is remarkable. So right out of the gate, we hosted a massive event. We brought a lot of end users. We brought folks from the government. We brought colleagues from Agrinovis. And it was a really fun couple of days. And on top of that, we brought everybody to a fever game. You know, obviously, Indiana sports is the hottest ticket in town right now, given the successes of the different teams. So those are the first things that we've done. And then in addition, we're obviously working with the state on a campaign to be able to go out and educate. One of the things Grain prides ourselves on is being best in class from a storytelling, marketing, branding. Again, if you go to our YouTube page, you'll see some world-class content and videos. So I think, Eric, those are the things we did right out of the gate. You know, looking at partnering with the AMP and driving there that artisan marketplace and really farm-to-table work. So I think those are some of the immediate things that we saw value in right out of the gate. And 16 tech is, you know, was a no brainer for us where we could be hyper engaged and really work to build that community and bridge the different groups of stakeholders together and get great access to life sciences and lab space, because there's a lot of testing we're going to have to do as well for some of the different outputs.
This is a really neat place here. I just had lunch, and Kayla and the team, none of you guys didn't come enjoy lunch with me. You didn't buy it, as they just stand in the background and do nothing. I had a nice lunch by myself, Jason. It was good. Let's wrap this thing up, Jason, with what's next. What is ahead for Grain Ecosystems?
Yeah, Eric. So my call is, if you're a farmer, if you're an agribusiness leader, if you're an industrial partner, policymaker, your manufacturer of pyrolysis and gasification, or even, you know, looking to do heavy industry or data centers based in Indiana or anywhere across the country, I want to connect. You know, we are here to decarbonize supply chains with low carbon inputs. I mean, at the end of the day, our goal is, we know decarbonization drives shareholder value, and we want to help people to turn their waste streams into resilient revenue generating solutions, whether that's at the land level, high level business, community, et cetera. So we want to build on what we're doing with Indiana. Indiana's positioned to make the state not just a participant in the bioeconomy, but a leader. And, you know, at the end of the day, Eric, the last thing I'll say is, because we're not merely seeking to store carbon, the whole point is, like, if we can leverage grain to spur economic opportunity and help chart these roadmaps for rural communities to thrive in a decarbonizing era, that's the goal. And we do it in an artful, practical, and profitable way. And I would just say, grainecosystem.com, join the ecosystem, create a free account, and really become familiar with these tools and what it takes to bridge the gap and make the next step towards profitable decarbonization. It's all about waste to value.
And Jason, you mentioned the website there. You've mentioned the YouTube channel a few times. How can folks find you? Again, what's the best way?
Really simple. YouTube, Grain Ecosystem, LinkedIn, Grain Ecosystem, and then, of course, grainecosystem.com. And you can get a hold of me, Jason, at grainecosystem.com. I try to be as proactive and engage as I can be, whether I'm in the Midwest, on the East Coast, or on the West Coast.
Jason, thank you so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience. It's been a great pleasure meeting you virtually here and getting to chat about Grain Ecosystems.
We'll do it live next time, Eric. Thanks.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience on behalf of the entire Agrinovus team. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here next time. Until then, be safe, be well.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstay. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovusindiana.com.